And you may say, Brother John, why are we watching that when there are so many other things that are happening right now? Well, the reason we're watching that is that we have a mandate from the Lord to go do all of these things. And so we can't let mission stop, and we can't let the work here stop, but we also can't stop reaching out to other people, and we can't not reach out to our neighbor and give them the gospel, and we also can't stand by and let people be without being a good Christian and bringing stuff to go take them at their time of need, because it may be us next time that needs the back and forth. And then that brings me to the next part of the service. We also, if we're biblical Christians, we can't forget the nation of Israel. Amen. Because the scripture says in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 3, I will bless those that bless thee, Jesus, or God said to Abraham. And as he says these things, and he gives them the promise, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And as I think about that, I think about the command that God gives us to be good to those that are His chosen people. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 122, verse number 6, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. And so if you wouldn't mind, turn to Psalm 122. I want you to not only hear me say it, but I want you to see it and maybe be a prayer reminder for you, that God would use us. You can't help but find Psalm 119. It's the big one in there. It's the biggest book in the whole Bible. But Psalm 122, verse number 6. And as you find your place there, I challenge you just to kind of make a mental note of this, or make a physical note and put a marker there. Verse number 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. And so you've been watching some of the stuff that's going on over there, and I don't know that anybody in this room has all the answers, where you're supposed to lie and how all this. I'm confused by all of it. I just know there's some biblical mandates that we are supposed to stand with God's people. Amen. So, Brother David Harrison, would you pray for Israel tonight that God would, we will pray just like the scripture says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Father, tonight we are honored to be able to pray for your chosen people. God, just as the church is the bride of Christ, Israel is the bride of God. And God, tonight, Lord, as we've stood there at the Wailing Wall and we've heard the Orthodox Jews as they pray every day for the peace of Jerusalem, peace in the world, the return of the Ark of the Covenant, and the return of Messiah, or the coming of Messiah. And God, tonight we know Messiah has already come. And Lord, we know that they're in blindness now, but one day all Jerusalem shall be saved. Deliverance shall come out of Zion. So tonight, God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, God, for the safety of Jerusalem. I pray, God, for the leaders of Jerusalem, for Benjamin Netanyahu, Lord, as he leads that country. Lord, I know there's an iron dome that's been built by America and Israel, Lord, to protect the bombs coming in from all the enemies on all four sides, from Hezbollah and Hamas and from the Houthis, and also, Lord, from Iran himself. But God, tonight, Lord, greater than the iron dome that's built by man is the iron dome of God. And I pray, God, tonight that you'd put a dome around that place and protect Israel, Lord God. I know that you have a plan, and the time clock of God is in Israel. We're watching the very prophecy of the Word of God be fulfilled. God, protect every soldier, Lord, that's a member of the IDF forces. Protect our men and women that are there on ships in the Persian Gulf and in the Mediterranean, those that fly airplanes, those that are on the ground, our leaders that are there. God, protect them. Give them wisdom. God, I pray that we'll make the right decisions. Lord, Israel doesn't need us, but we sure do need them. God, we need to stand and be faithful to the nation of Israel, because we know that therein lies the blessing. Now, God, thank you, Lord, for a church that's taken time tonight, Lord, to do these things that we believe is command of Scripture, to pray for Jerusalem. God, bless our dear brothers there. Those that are saved and are brothers in Christ, protect them, those churches that are there, God, preaching the gospel to their Jewish brothers. I pray, Lord, like the Apostle Paul, he prays that all of his brethren would be saved. Take the blindness from their eyes, and God, tonight, put a hedge around that nation. God, put a hedge around our nation. God, we're in trouble tonight. If we've ever needed a move of God, we sure do need it now. Open up the eyes and the hearts of our leaders. Help us as a nation to turn back to God. Give us unity again. Take away the division that divides this nation and divides our churches. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for saving us. Again, God, tonight, protect your people. Lord, if bombs fly tonight, God, protect them. Keep them safe. Give them hope in the midst of hopelessness and give them peace in the midst of war. And God, you be God and you do what needs to be done. And we're going to bless you and thank you for everything that's done. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 6, speaking about Israel, says this, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." That's not a put down to everybody who's not of the Jewish descent. That just means that God's still got things for them in his plan. In Ezekiel chapter 36, it says, "And he shall gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land." So just don't forget that God's not done with Israel. You read the future, the prophecies, and God's still got great plans for them. And I think one of the greatest things that we can do for them right now is we pray for Jerusalem, the peace of it, as Brother David just did. But then I'm going to ask Brother Rick Hall, if you don't mind, to pray for individual Jewish folks that their eyes would be open to that their Messiah has already come. Amen. And that happens. But you know, as a general rule, they are still blinded to that. So Brother Rick, would you just pray for Jewish folks that through all that's happening, that God would just work on them and show them that Messiah, he came. They trust Christ. Would you do that?
Father, we thank you that you're still the great I Am. And that as we pray for your people, your country, give us wisdom to do what's right. Father, as Brother mentioned, we need Israel. And I pray, Father, that for their safety, as we were there and saw the eyes of some of those Israeli children, they're people just like us. And they need the love and care of the world. The world seems to be against them, and Satan is trying to destroy Israel. But we pray, Father, that we might be one of the few helps that's left in the world that cares about their safety. And I just pray, Father, that even our leaders would lend an ear to the needs. And I pray, Father, that you would continue to bless Israel. And as we look upon them from day to day through the news or whatever, we'll see the need just to take time and pray for their safety. We thank you and praise you again for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Marty, if you'll finish us up by praying, then I'm going to go over this Bible study. It's in your sheet. I'm going to go through it quickly so we'll be out about on time. But I want you to pray for our church that in the midst of all this, we would keep, it's easy to get lopsided. It's easy to get all on one side and to forget about other things. It's easy to get involved in missions and forget about reaching people right here where we are. Some churches reach right where they are and they forget about worldwide missions. And some, it's easy to get on prophecy and forget about the other parts of the scripture. And it's easy to get involved in helps organizations and forget the spiritual needs. So would you pray for our church that we just stay where God wants us to stay?
Father, we thank you for filling your presence tonight, Lord. It's been so good to gather around you and your word. Lord, we ask that you bless our church. We ask you keep a hedge of protection about us, Lord. Pray, Lord, you bless our pastor. Thank you for his leadership. Pray, Lord, you'll keep your hand of protection on him. Lord, you fill him with your spirit, that you'll guide him, that he'll lead us, Lord. Lord, we ask that you help us to be the church you want us to be, Lord. Lord, we want to please you. We want to give you honor and glory in everything that's done. Lord, you're not willing that any should perish. And Lord, we ask that you save the Israelis that are not saved, Lord. And we pray that you'll work in their lives. And Lord, we pray that you'll work in the lives of the ones that have been dealt this in the floods and things going on in their lives, Lord. Pray that you'll give them peace. But Father, we pray that you'll help us to be the church that you'd called us to be faithful in all areas that you've called us to be, that you've shown us to be in your word. Help us to be a church of the word. Help us to be faithful to you, faithful to your word. God, again, thank you for who you are, because you're the only one worthy of praise. Pray that you'll bless us now, bless us in the rest of the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please keep on praying. Every time somebody comes in with a great ministry or something's working, I want to, every time that one of these trucks pull out of the parking lot, I'd like to go with them and get down the mud and deliver some stuff, but then somebody's got to stay here. And then when a missionary comes through, I'd like to go with them. And then when something else comes up, I'd like to go do that, but you can only do what you can do. And so you pray for us that we stay where we are, or where we're supposed to, I should say. I want to give this to you, and I'll do it very, very timely. In Galatians chapter 2, verse number 21, this is the Bible study handout that you got in your sheet as you came in. We're still finishing up about grace. We've been on it for the last few weeks. But in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 21, the Bible says this, an interesting phrase. I've always thought it different, and it's wonderful. But it says this, God says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Well, this is that passage of Scripture that is talking about that we are, up in verse number 16, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. We know that it's through faith plus or minus nothing. Nobody can do anything to get there. And then the writer goes on to say at the end of that chapter, I do not frustrate the grace, meaning I don't neutralize, is what that literally means, or set aside or violate. I don't go against that grace. I'm not going to frustrate. Now, you know what it's like to be frustrated. We've all been frustrated. Something's taken 20 minutes. It should have taken 2 minutes, and it's either your fault or somebody else's fault or your husband's fault, ladies, or your husband's fault, ladies, or somebody you married, ladies, and whoever, that's frustrated. Well, we use that term, and that's part of it, but in this passage, as far as the meaning, it means literally neutralize, set aside, or violate, go against. And so he says, I don't frustrate, I don't violate, I don't go against the grace of God, because that's what some people were doing in this instance. And so I'm looking at tonight the dangers of regarding grace, and grace is there. What are the dangers that are surrounding it? So number one, as we quickly move through here, we would see in Jude, only chapter it is, but Jude verse number 4, we see that grace can be abused. Now there's these creeps in the Bible. Verse number 4 says, for there are certain men crept in unawares. That's the creeps. They've crept in unawares, secretly, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. I mean, they were pre-planning some of this stuff. They were prepared to do some things that they ought not to do. They were ungodly men. And look at what they did, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is a big word for evil, the wickedness and wrong and all of that nasty stuff. They've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Who were the ones that did that? Those ones that crept in unawares. They were before of old, meaning they've been planning it for a long time, that condemnation. They were ungodly men, and they abused that grace. They turned it into lasciviousness. And what were they doing? They were denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So I think about these false teachers that sometimes you'll see on television or hear somewhere, see on the internet. They take some scripture, and there's a lot of good things they say. There are some things that, wow, that's good, that's good. I was listening to this one time years ago, and boy, everything was just going right along. That's good, that's good, that's good, until he got into a smack dab right in the middle of heresy. Well, there you go. He's abusing that grace. He's taking advantage and opposing God's grace. They were turning grace into evil. That's not all, though. Grace can be abused, but also grace can be frustrated. We looked at verse number 21 already there. We see that frustrating. Remember, that was that violating it. And that grace can be frustrated. It can be abused. It can be set aside. It can be neutralized or nullified if you want to. God doesn't get frustrated, I don't guess, but I know we do, and we can frustrate His grace, because we've got to remember that grace is our only hope. You remember when Jesus talked to Peter, and Peter asked him, will you also go away? He said, whom shall we go? Lord, we ain't got no other place to head out to. Ain't nobody else. This is the West Virginia version. Ain't nobody else got the words of life. You're it. And thou hast the words of eternal life, in John chapter 6, verse number 68. And so we can frustrate that grace, though. We can put it aside, and we can make things sound good. And all the, you know, I'm not a big person to put down other churches. It's not my place to. But this church or any other church, when we set aside the grace of God and the salvation by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. It's not your membership or your baptism or your good works or your whatever it is. It's all through grace. And these people were frustrating that, and that's almost not a strong enough word, because they were just doing bad things to it, and they were abusing it, and then some were frustrating it. And then we see, lastly, that it can be turned from. If you're in Galatians, you can look in Galatians chapter number 5. And you can see that this grace that we talk about, it can be turned away from. Verse number 3 of Galatians 5. For I testify again to every man that's circumcised that he's a debtor to the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you whatsoever. If you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Now, here's the phrase that sometimes people give while they fell from grace. But I would challenge you to look at all this in the context of it and see that this warning is given here to everybody. If you're going to follow the law route, meaning if you're going to say in some place in Scripture, you got to be circumcised, or if you've got to do this, or if you're going to have to do this. So whichever part that is the one that you take a shining to, basically what Scripture is saying here, I testify again, verse number 3, to every man that's circumcised, meaning that they were holding that as validation of who they were. They were holding that as a great bragging right. No, I'm of the circumcision. I'm that kind of person. I'm that kind of in today. Oh no, I'm a Baptist. And I'm a this or I'm a that. See, Scripture is telling that person to everybody that's circumcised, meaning they were proud of that. They were very haughty about who they were. We're better than you because we've already got this taken care of. You're the uncircumcision. But he tells them, be careful. Every man that's that way, that if he's going to go that route, then he's debtor, he's obligated to the whole law. And you know those people that say, well, one sin's just as bad as another. Well, that doesn't track with Scripture because some sins rather, Scripture says it's against your body. Some that have great consequences. And so it's not true. Like people say, oh, well, might as well, if you do one, you might as well do the other. One's just as bad as another. Well, you don't go to prison for talking bad about somebody. But you do go to prison for killing somebody. So you can see that some have more consequences than the other. But where that thought comes from, although that's a little bit incorrect, where that thought comes from is the littlest of sins, if we label them that, the littlest of sins is enough to keep you out of the running, go to heaven, just like the biggest of sins are. So in that regard, one is just as bad as another. As far as one keeps you from being perfect, it doesn't matter if you almost hit the mark or you just were 3 miles away from it. And so that's what the Scripture is getting back to. Remember, if you're going to hold to these things, whatever these things are, in this case, it was that Jewish religion, that circumcision, but just fill in the blank with anything else. If you're going to hold to that, don't forget, you're not only going to have to do that one, but the whole shooting match. You're going to have to follow all of it. You say, well, John, I can't follow all of it. You're right. As a matter of fact, you can't follow any of it. Not consistently for all of your days. So religions have been reverting people from grace back to work for a long time. And then I give you that warning. If you're going to go that way, then you're going to be responsible for all of it. And so this speaks, that fallen from grace at the end of verse number 4, speaks not necessarily of an act. Well, they did one thing, well, that got them out. But instead, it takes you to that doctrine that leaves the biblical position of salvation being only in Jesus Christ. I did a funeral the other night, and I was able to tell those people, as I tell many people, that Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not but by him and membership of church. Not but by me and a lifetime of good works. Not but by me and fill in the blank, but by me. And so if we're going to go away from that, if we're going to turn away from it as they did, then we're on dangerous territory. So the grace of God is wonderful, and I just want to bring out these dangers that are wrapped around that people can do when they get unbiblical. Well, we've had a different night tonight, and there's been parts of it that I've almost left out, and there's one part we've got to do here. I want to have a short business meeting. Brother Danny's going to come. But I'm not wanting to leave any part out because I'm trying to mind the Lord and have our church just do what we should do in this difficult age. Because if we take the difficulties that are facing us right now and we say, well, this isn't the time. Well, what are we going to do when the next difficulty comes? And then the next difficulty. So we're going to have to keep the hammer down even when difficulties come our way. Just like you do at your house. Problems come, but you still pay the bills. Problems come, but you still got to make sure your children are in at the time you want to be in. So you don't just let up just because some difficulties come, and difficulties surely have come in our region. But let me pray with us and ask the Lord to do something. Father, I pray that you would bless this church. And Lord, we don't want to ever close a service without giving somebody a chance to respond. Lord, the grace of you that you've given us is available to everybody in this room tonight. And Lord, I pray if there's one person that's not sure that they're saved, that they would have gotten enough from the words that we read to understand that that salvation is not going to come by their changed life. That salvation is not going to come by them turning over a new leaf or getting really serious about something. That salvation is going to come through Jesus Christ. And Lord, he'll make a huge change in their life. And then there'll be that one that goes out and works and does these things for him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Pray if there's one that needs to be saved, that they'd be saved tonight. If there's some other Christian that needs to make a decision for you, I pray that tonight would be the night. If, ladies, you just play through there for us one verse. And if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. As you're there, if the Lord's moving upon you, please don't leave without doing business with him. If you need to be saved, would you step out? And I'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be certain Jesus is your Savior. If you have any other prayer needs, this altar is open for you. As they play, would you come? Nothing between my soul and the Savior. I'm just going to let him play one more verse. And as we close, while you're there, let's just take this opportunity as a church family to pray for the people in our region that are hurting so much tonight. The sun went down, and with that sun going down, a lot of the hope kind of vanished. Because as long as the sun was out, they had a little bit of light and felt like they could do something. But they had to go somewhere to bed down for the night. Let's pray for those neighbors of ours. So much. You may look this way. I met with the deacons the other night. I'd like to bring a couple of mission items and one for a church business item. So, Brother Dan, if you don't mind to come.